This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu, and it's also Race Your Game. I'm here with almost a regular. We've had him on before, and this is Mushtaq Al-Atabi. I call him Prof. He's written another book, which has a very interesting title called Shoot the Boss. Of course, you know, we've spoken to him on many things around emotional intelligence, and of course, he had another book called Think Like an Engineer previously as well. But with a title like Shoot the Boss, Prof, what is that book all about?
Well, it's again about leadership, and it's about emotional intelligence as well. And interestingly, people ask me, who's the boss? And I just say, the boss is you.
Oh.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's about accountability. It's about how can we take action for change and make things happen.
Okay, so when you what went into the title of the book, though? I'm sure you got picked up a lot because people were having other thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. I think a title of a book is just like the name that we give to our children. It has to be exciting, interesting, so that the book is also getting picked up. You know, there are, 8 million books on Amazon? Mm-hmm. So you need to give your book some interesting titles, some maybe thought-provoking titles, so that people start a conversation with you. So that's why I selected it. It came from a story, actually, that I personally experienced, you know, when I was running an accreditation exercise at my university. I noticed that the academic staff were not really buying in. They were not really doing the work that was necessary to make the accreditation a true success. Mm. And I realized that probably there's something missing. So I took the entire faculty out, and we went to a paintball place, and everyone was asked three questions in detail to check their readiness and their understanding of the accreditation process and concept. And the idea was, if you can answer 3 out of 3, you are safe. If you answer 2 out of 3, you are still safe. If you answer only 1 or none, then you need to take the marker and you need to shoot me, because as a leader, somehow I have failed you.
Okay.
And that, in the beginning, you know, people say, yeah, I will happily shoot you. But actually, it's quite an unnerving kind of experience to point at a helpless person and shoot him for a mistake that you made. Mm-hmm. And some people became more even emotional. I remember one of the academic staff, she started even crying. So I think that is how, you know, the story changed by me as a leader of that unit back then. Showed accountability. I told them, you've went to the training, you've done the work, there's something missing. Why you are unable to answer these questions? I'm sure I have failed you somehow. And interestingly, you know, right after that, I noticed a shift in behavior. And we went through the accreditation, and the, you know, the accreditation panel, one of the positive comments they gave us was, we had highly motivated staff. They even asked me, how did you do it? So sometimes, you know, you need to do things differently, and the idea is, when it is surprising, when it is even shocking, it will have a better and a bigger impact.
Right. So you wrote that book, Think Like an Engineer, and of course now this book. How is it different, or how is it an extension?
There is definitely a connection. That Think Like an Engineer, it was about thinking. It wasn't really about engineering only, but it was about how we think, how can we utilize the concepts that engineers use day in, day out in our business world, in our education, in our even family life. Shoot the Boss is catered really more towards change. How do you achieve long-lasting and impactful change, whether at a personal level, at a family level, or even at an organizational level?
Right. And it's very interesting because, Prof, I know you're in engineering, in the engineering school
faculty,
right? And then you're writing a book about emotional intelligence.
Yes.
Right? And what did you see was missing? Because you think someone writing a book about emotional intelligence will be someone from the psychology department.
You are absolutely right, and maybe this is another surprising thing that will get my books and my work picked up. But the way I view the world is there is an engineering in every one of us. And the way I see engineering, I don't see it as, you know, a piece of paper from an institution that says you are an engineer. I see engineering about, you know, converting challenges into opportunities. I see it in the people who invented the wheel in Mesopotamia 10,000 years ago, or in those who build the pyramids, without really being having to go to a university and being called engineer. So it's about that human capability to look at a challenge and find an ingenious solution for it and convert a challenge into an opportunity.
Okay, so now the book is subtitled with Leading with Stories in the Age of Emotional Intelligence. And you talk a lot about stories in the book. Why are stories so important for the purposes of emotional intelligence?
I actually think that stories are important for life, not only for emotional intelligence. Mm. And that's why maybe the first connections that we form with our elders, with our parents, happens through stories. Even if you look at, you know, the impactful books, the holy books, they're full of parable and stories, because this is how we learn. So I believe, and there is a lot of support for this, that our existence happens at multiple levels. At the core of it is the language that we use. So if you were to imagine our existence as an iceberg, mm-hmm. You imagine that the top part, the visible part, is how we manage ourselves and how we deal with other people. So that's the visible part. But what drives these behaviors? What drives the way we behave, the way we manage ourselves, the way we manage our relationships? If you go deeper at the core, it's actually the language that we use. Mm-hmm. Now, Noam Chomsky claims that language has evolved as a system of thought, and its use for communication is secondary. This is actually a very powerful thing if you think about it. And that's why probably the thoughts that we have them linguistically in our heads are very clear to us. Mm. But sometimes when you communicate them, you have miscommunication, because language was not evolved as a primary mean of communication, but as a mean of thought. That's why the words that we use are extremely important. They invoke emotions and they get us to think in a certain way.
Right.
Now, the second level, which is slightly higher than language, is the stories that we tell. Mm. So the language that we use drives the stories that we tell. And we all tell stories. I'm sure on the way, when you are driving, you are telling yourself, you are talking to yourself, and I was talking to myself as well, and I think our listeners do that as well. This is the time, this is the brain, this is our mind making sense of the world around us. Mm. And the two main stories that we tell is, you know, there's a story about ourselves, who we are, and there is another story about how does the world work. So people who tells you, you know, I'm unlucky. Whatever I try, it doesn't work. And you know what? Everyone out there is there to get me. I feel life is unfair to me. This is a story. Another person would tell you, look, I'm good with people. I'm lucky. I'm successful with things. I think I face challenges, but I think life is good generally. Mm. This is another story that people tell. So it's the language, then the stories that we tell. Now, when we are aware of the stories that we tell, then we will be able to manage ourselves and manage our relationships. So right. if I were to recap, the iceberg you have under the water level.
The 90%.
Absolutely. So you have first the language, second the stories, third the awareness, and only then you have the behavior, the part that people really can see and interact with. And this is very, very important for those who are trying to change, because often when we try to change at the top, we change behavior through reward, through punishment, without changing the language, without changing the stories, without creating awareness. This won't be a lasting kind of change. The moment the impact is removed, absolutely.
Back to square one.
Yes.
Right. And I guess, like you say, the stories that we tell, are we a half glass full or half glass empty kind of person?
Yes. Right. And the interesting thing is, the way to impact our stories is through the choice of language. You know, the language needs to change so that we start telling more positive stories.
All right. I'm here with Mushtaq Al-Attabi talking about his book, Shoot the Boss. We'll talk more about this in just a moment. Stay tuned to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Are you listening to Enterprise? I'm Frida Liu, and I'm here with Mushtaq Al-Attabi, author of Shoot the Boss and Think Like an Engineer, and I think another book as well.
Driving Performance.
Driving Performance. And of course, I know Mushtaq Al-Attabi as Prof. Mushtaq. So we were talking about your book and how it all, Shoot the Boss, and the boss is ourselves, and having to do that. And so based on the book, it's not enough to understand the concept of emotional intelligence, but also be self-aware about how to improve your approach to emotional intelligence. And that's what you were talking about, the language and the stories we use. And you mentioned a specific practice you've called the MERSVP state that helps to develop emotional descriptions. How does that work?
You see, emotional intelligence has four elements to it. And it starts with self-awareness, mm-hmm. and you have also self-management, you have relationship management, and you have social awareness. But the cornerstone for emotional intelligence is self-awareness. And awareness happens when we put words to the states that we are at any moment in time. But interestingly, the part of the brain where language is processed is different from the part where emotions are processed. Mm. So often when people ask us to describe how do we feel, we struggle to put words to how we feel, to the state that we are in. So the MERSVP is an exercise that I actually learned from a gentleman with the name Jim Warner. And it's about you taking time and noticing how do you feel mentally, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, vocationally, and also physically.
Okay.
So by saying I feel, let's say, mentally strong or tired or confused or curious, you are actually describing how do you feel, and you are forcing yourself to stop and notice. Now, if you keep on repeating this on a daily basis, you sharpen your awareness. You become very aware of where do you stand at that moment in time.
Okay, so this is, in a way, mindfulness.
Absolutely, yes.
Right? So in a way, mindfulness. So let's give a scenario of, so I went to exercise this morning.
Yes.
Then mentally, I feel strong.
Good.
Emotionally, it makes me happy.
Brilliant.
Relationally, I don't know.
So do you feel connected
to the people that I exercise with?
Or maybe because you have a state of focus, maybe even connected to me because you were thinking of this interview while you were, and what questions you'll be asking me.
Right.
Or maybe even connected to the people on the road after you come out of the gym and you'll be driving. So you will, that connection that you are developing with the other drivers, you will treat them well, and you decide that even if they don't behave very well, you will stop and respond in a better way. So it's that awareness. Now, often people struggle to put, I mean, you were very good immediately putting words to where you're feeling back then. But sometimes people struggle with that. And in the book, I even created a list of adjectives to pick from.
Okay.
And after a while, you become so good. You become very, very keen, very sharp at really dissecting how do you feel in that moment. So the big banner, as you said, is mindfulness.
Right.
But often, you know, it's actually very difficult to to be mindful. And this is a very simple exercise through repeating it on a daily basis. You imagine, like, you know, if you are a pilot, you know, before you fly your airplane, you look at your gauges and dials, and you check your fuel, and you check everything that is right, and the doors have been locked, and all the passengers are in. So it's that kind of checking in, so that, yes, I know. And sometimes, you know, the adjectives that you put could be negative.
Right.
And that's absolutely fine.
So then you realize, why am I putting a negative element to it? No?
And yes, but you see, sometimes if you are having some challenges with people and you are feeling that relationally you are betrayed, it's fine. Mm. It's just like you need to be aware. Because when you are aware, that would lead you to the next step, which is self-management.
Right.
And you need to know that you can stop. And although I am...
It's like I am angry. At least acknowledge I'm angry.
Absolutely.
Rather than suppressing it.
Yes. And recognize that...
Now that I'm angry, what do I need to do?
Yes. And to recognize that you have a choice of what to do with that anger.
Okay. I'm still... Okay. So M-E-R-S and it's spirit... Okay. So I exercise morning. Spiritually...
So spiritually is a very interesting word.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't necessarily mean... something related to
religion. A healthy body, a healthy mind.
Absolutely. And it's about something that's beyond yourself.
Mm.
What's that purpose that you are living for and having? So, but some people draw the spiritual element from a religious dimension, and that's absolutely fine.
Right.
It really depends on us. But there is that spiritual element of something that's beyond us, something bigger than us, whether it's something that we believe in or a cause that we are, aspiring to achieve, but it's something beyond us. And vocationally, it could be your work. If you are a student, it's how are you doing with your studies. It's something related to your profession and how you are progressing in that field. And it has to always, you know, be an adjective to describe it. And it could be, you know, vocationally struggling or progressing or, you know, confused or...
Mm.
But once we start putting that and writing them even down, then it gives you that time to reflect and stop and decide what to do with it.
So it's like even coming up, I guess, even writing this book, why am I writing this book? You would have gone through this process of how it helps you MERSVP.
Absolutely. Everything that we do... not that I always remember to do this, because it's a journey, you know.
Right,
you write about it, and people expect you to be always emotionally intelligent, always saying the right thing. But I tell you, through talking about it, through writing about it, through teaching it, and so on and so forth, it puts you in that position to say, okay, let me watch my language. Let me watch how do I do it. Sometimes I succeed, sometimes I fail, because I'm only a human. But at least I am aware. And even if I make a mistake, I could reflect over that and I say, next time I'll try to do it better.
Okay, now one of the books, one of the things you discussed in the book was also, you covered on conflict management, right? Can you explain a little bit about how that is applicable in what we've just talked about?
Well, you know, if you think of conflict, it always happened because we have different representation of the world in our mind.
Hmm.
And it's only when we think that you see the world from, you know, your point of view, and I see it from a different point of view. So how can we, through telling an alternative, a different story in which we have, we can share a closer point of view, how can we do that? How can we be, how can we empathize with another individual? And it's often about first knowing about ourselves. So for example, if you and I have a conflict, and if we are trained in this art of, you know, clearing these issues, I could start by saying, you know, Freda, I have an issue to discuss with you. Is
what
this
issue?
A good time? No,
okay,
I mean,
okay. All right.
So I say, is this a good time? And answer could be yes or no. So when is it a good time? Then I say, you will say, maybe
yes,
it's
it is
now.
A good time
so
to discuss.
It's a good time to discuss it. Then first, I will say, I have this issue with you, and then I speak only the facts.
Okay.
That I came into the studio and you did not...
I did not smile at you.
You did not smile at me. Yes, so that's let's say the... So it has to be this. Then I talk about my emotions. What that make me feel, I felt rejected. I felt...
I thought we were friends.
So for example. And then you could... I could end up by... And what I want for myself is to be acknowledged and to be smiled at. Then... Okay. You will repeat everything that I've said back to me.
Right.
And say...
So, Prof, I came in, I didn't smile at you, and you felt rejected. Okay.
You see, you forgot what I want for
myself.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. So we need to... Then what I want for myself, I want to be connected and respected.
Okay.
So the fact that you have repeated this to me, okay. It makes me feel... heard. Now this could be a very simple thing, but sometimes we have very complex issues, but it's all about we taking the time. And I've seen this process done in front of me where people say, you know, even in describing the issue, say, is this right? No, you didn't hear me well. Let me repeat that to you. Mm. So it actually forces us to think and empathize and see how the other person see it from her or his point of view. So if we have that time to listen, to empathize, to understand the role of emotions in what other people are struggling with, that will help us actually to at least come closer to a resolution. I've seen this technique work, and I've seen it sometimes. You know, you don't achieve a resolution immediately, but at least now you have something to take home, to reflect over, and to think about.
All right. Where can people get hold of your book?
Well, the book is available in all the bookstores. It's available on Amazon as well. So it's here.
All right. It's always a pleasure speaking to you, Prof. I was speaking to Mushtaq Al-Tabi, talking about his latest book, Shoot the Boss. You've been listening to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.